Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
So we thought we'd do something a little different today, instead of just a traditional sermon. Since we're celebrating 26 years, we want to go back and talk about some of the great things that God has done, how God has been faithful. So to help us do that, let's welcome our founders to the stage, Apostle Swilly, Prophet Deborah. Got a little couch talk going on here. Let's have a little word of prayer before we get started. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done over the years. God, in our lives personally, God, in the life of this amazing community, Father, this Hope community. God, we've seen so many miracles. We've seen so many signs, so many wonders. We've seen salvations. We've seen lives transformed and turned around. God, we say thank you. And we also, God, we live in a state of expectation to say, God, what's next? God, what is next? So we thank you for that. And we thank you, God, for this time of just sharing and reflecting on your goodness today. In Jesus' name, everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. You know, when I think about the goodness of God and what he's done at Hope, it really brings Philippians 1:6 to my spirit. And that says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you,
that's right,
will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. And I think it's so powerful how that we've had such an amazing core group of people, and God has added to us, and some people have moved on, and God has added other people. But this core group have not forgotten that God began something, and that he's not going to stop until he completes that work. And so it's very exciting, but it's also a principle that we can really grab a hold of. It's not, don't just believe in God, believe in the God assignment for your life, you know? And I think what happened with us was we got into a real agreement to say, we believe in the God assignment for Hope, you know? Even when you go through difficulties, even when, like what we're singing about, even when your back is up against the wall, we know that God gave us an assignment. God gave us a work to complete. And, you know, you can even take that on a personal level for your life and say, you know what? I'm not only going to believe in God, I'm going to believe in who he's called me to be. I'm going to believe in who he's destined me to be. I'm not going to give up on my assignment. You know, even though I go through difficulties, even though I go through challenges, even though sometimes I might not feel like I want to feel in my body, I know that his words are true. His promises are yes and amen. And man, I'm undefeated. You know, God has called me undefeated. And so sometimes it's just a matter of figuring out how to walk in that. It's that state of being undefeated. So I'm certain that God is going to continue to do something. And God is going to continue to, I don't know about you, but God never is outdone. God's kingdom is always advancing. God is never diminishing and just hanging in there. God is just hanging in there today. No, God is not just hanging in there. God's kingdom is continuing to advance, to get greater, to get more powerful, and to touch and impact more people. So I want to talk about God's faithfulness over the years. If I were to say, tell me something, what's a memory that really stands out to you that you said, this really reminds me of the faithfulness of God? I guess that means you're starting. That pat
you.
On the back,
thank
that's you.
And as last service, I'm going to try to keep it short this time. Sorry. Well, I think in the beginning, when we were told to come to Miami, we didn't obey. We were kind of like, okay, we were involved. And so there was this person that called and said, first before we even knew, he called and said, you don't know me, but God woke me up this morning and told me to call you and tell you that you're called to Miami. Now, we're living in Atlanta, working for a church for 17 years, and things were going okay. Then the next phone call, we'd already taken a position in Buffalo, New York, and he calls and said, you don't know me. My name is Eddie Polanco, but God woke me up this morning and told me to tell you that you're called to Miami, Florida. And I said, well, we just took this church. here in Buffalo, and thank you for your phone call. And then the next phone call, we were moving from Buffalo to Griffin, Georgia. And he called and he said, God woke me up this morning and said to tell you, you are called to Miami, Florida. And I said, okay, thank you, sir. We're just kind of trying to figure it out right now. And we're moving to Griffin to just work out of a church. And Bishop's going to fly all over the world from Griffin, Georgia. And we don't know what we're doing. And so we were sitting in Griffin, Georgia, and we take a vacation, and we are walking. He's walking on the beach, and God said, come to Miami, Florida. I have called you here. From this city, you will touch the world. Come here. You'll have a church of every nation, and so on. And so we didn't obey. That was the time we didn't obey, because we had our calendar booked, so we're working, and we're going everywhere. And then God arrested us and said, if you don't move within a month, I'll move to someone else. And then the van is loaded. We have no church. We have no home. We just are going to Miami. And we have the van loaded, and the kids are in the car. I think you were driving the car. Or not yet. No, okay. And
I might have been.
Might have been.
15.
I think you might have been driving for me. Anyway, so they're all in the car, and I said, just let me check one more time. Turn out the lights. And we had the phone on the wall. Remember those? We had the phone on the wall, and it's ringing and ringing and ringing. And Bishop had gone ahead of us, and I thought, it could be him. So I went over, and I picked up the phone, and listen to this. Hi, God woke me up this morning. My name is Eddie Polanco, and God said, you are called to Miami, Florida. That was so amazing.
God is so faithful, and there's so many different ways that he's shown us his faithfulness over the years. What's the story that stands out to you?
The story she just told. I would just like to simply say, this is singularly the most uncomfortable couch I've ever sat on in my life. I would just like to say, for those of you that think we're living large up here right now, you should try to sit on this thing.
I think it feels good. I like it.
Okay.
It's real straight.
Okay. I would say, we came to Miami, and we had been going all around the world with the family, singing and ministering, and the kids were starting to be an active part. Josh was playing the keyboard and singing. The girls were dancing and part of it and singing. And so we said, God, you called us. So we were all, seven of us, were living in like 1,500-square-foot house. And so our first service, we had one person, Eddie Polanco. And so I said, if you don't come, you're in trouble.
The faithfulness of God and Eddie Polanco.
And so it started growing, and we would take all of our furniture and put it out in the backyard and have church, because it got to be about 80 people in there. And we said, God, what do we do? And we talked about this. We've rehearsed this so many times, because I believe the church has moved 13 or 14 times. And you say, well, you need to find your way. You know, Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Church, they moved 80 times. Okay, so how many of you know when the cloud moves, you better move? And so I was in Toronto doing a pastor's conference, because I was having to travel to make the money so that we could build hope. And so I was in Toronto, and this guy called me up, and he said, there's a church in Miami that's open, and seats 1,100, and they want a pastor. And we said, this is incredible. So we went to the church, and the church started growing and growing and growing and growing. It was great. And then the only Sunday I was not there, I was in Reno, Nevada, speaking at Rob Owens' church, and the pastor that used to have the church got so excited, he took the church back over. And so in 1 week, we didn't have a church, and we didn't have a house, because the parsonage is where we lived. We had no place to have hope. We had no place to have a place to live for my family. I just want to tell you something. Everybody that's listening right now, God will make a way where there is no way. And that's, everybody say this, that's in my DNA. That's in, no, see, if you're in this house, that's in your DNA. And so the craziest story was, when I first came here, I went to this millionaire's home that somebody sent me to that was a Christian, and I walked in, and he said, I hear you're having a church. I said, yeah, we're having a church over here. He said, with that guy, he said, get out of my house now. He kicked me out of his house. True story. I've never been kicked out of anybody's house. I can get along with anybody. Get out of my house. And I said, well, that was a really good event. And so when we got kicked out of that church, Sunday was praying, and she said, you need to go back to the guy that kicked you out of his house. I said, that's a lie. The devil is a lie. I'm not going over there to whip his butt, but I'm not going over there. And she said, no. And so I walk in the house, and the minute we walked in the house, he looked at me and he says, I have a place for you at the busiest intersection in South Florida, and I will give you $100,000 free rent the first year. And I have a place for you to live. And that was the Golden Glades Exchange, and that was where the whole thing exploded. And the rest is history. But over and over, the faithfulness of God, at the end of that 5 years that we were there, God said, that's the end. And I said, well, where do we go? And there was the California Club. And how many of y'all remember the California Club? And that place was huge. And so we went there, and that was great. That was great. And then
that's when the lease went after a couple of years from $8,000 to $30,000.
And so the Kmart went under, and the guy that owned the complex, he said, "Yeah, it's going to be this incredible price," and we kind of going to do it. Then we moved to the most celebrated Covens Conference Center. That was voted the best conference center in the Southeast. And so we went there, and it was great. Was great. And then they went under new management, and they said, we're going to double your lease, and it would be something that we could not afford. I wasn't going to put the church in that place. And so every time he was faithful, we went to the Hope United Methodist Church. How many of y'all knew that? We painted it up, fixed it up, did all that, and they kicked us out. And so and we had great relationship. And so then we went to James Watson found Cooper City High School, and we were there, and it was great. I was loving it there. And then a pastor shows up and said, God told me to sell you my church. That was the Cooper City Church. And so we went there. And then I said, hallelujah. Pastor Josh and Corinne, take it from here. And so he's faithful.
Oh, man, he's faithful. You know, I think that coming up on 26 years, I think, what does that mean for us as a church?
I went back to the Word to try to do some research on this, and the first thing that jumped out at me was in the first chapter of Genesis, the 26th verse says, it's where the Godhead decided, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to pattern man in their image. And I thought, man, that's so powerful. And God was just telling me, I am taking you through a refining process, Hope. And I am making you more in my image. And when I look around the room, when I look at our leadership, when I look at our people, I see that, like, manifesting. I see God changing us to be more like him. I see growth that's happened in our spiritual lives. I see growth that's happened in the way that we view the world. You know, it's like we've been elevated from this place of natural things, and God has really been just redefining who we are, making us more like him.
You know, I think 26 is so powerful. When I think about it, I see, you know, 2, which is, you know, throughout the Bible, God always confirms things in 2s. So God will say something, and then God will confirm something. And so God establishes a thing in 2. And so when I think about 26, I think about the 2 side of 26 being that God is establishing and reestablishing, saying, this is what I'm doing at Hope. and really a season where things are just a new season of stability, saying, I've said this before, and I'm saying it again. This is what I've called you to do. This is what I've who I've called you to be. And so, you know, it's a witness to what God has called us. And then, of course, I see the number six is the number of man. And I said, God, what does the number six mean to us? And I really felt like he's saying, this is one of the greatest seasons where you're going to touch the hearts of man. And in our community, among, you know, the people that God has us serving, that we're really touching people in a real way. When I even think about how God sent Jesus, it was him, God coming to earth and putting himself in human form so he can become in closer proximity to touch the hearts of man and to redeem the hearts of man, to restore the hearts of man. So I really see this as God confirming and God establishing that he is going to bring us into a whole nother season of touching people in a very real way in our community.
Okay. You took all the good stuff. No, there is more. There's always more, right? So two is always the number of agreement, and God always gives testimony of what he's doing. But six is the number of man, all through, it's humanity. But if you break that in half, God again, two threes is the Trinity giving you a confirmation of what he's doing and moving forward in his people. And if you add it together, it's eight. And you have had the church 8 years. Christian is 8 years old. But what God is saying in his two is agreement, and you have the Trinity twice. He's saying, I want to show my image, the Trinity. I want to show it on the earth through mankind. And the number, we were here 18 years plus 8 years is 26. God always works in weeks and moons and seasons and half a time and times. And this is a half a time. 26 is half of 52, 52 weeks in a year. This is a half of a time. So we are at half time. God said, go back to Miami to us a month ago. Go back to Miami to finish. To finish. We're at half time. This is half time. And we don't have a clear picture yet what that looks like, but God will reveal it because he is faithful. And eight is the new beginning. Eight is also the number of a covenant son. The covenant son. And here, what is God trying to show us is his image. You have Christian and Pastor Joshua, a father son. You have a father son. Father son in this, what God is showing you in front of your face is father son, but we're also reflecting. We are the son. And we are reflecting his image on the earth. And 18 means light. It actually means chai in Hebrew, which means light and life. And that's our number. And their number is new beginning. So what God's trying to show humanity or mankind, that there is new life coming forth. And I heard it this morning. I heard the sound from heaven. That song, they've written other songs, but that song is so anointed. That song is going to bring hope to Christians and non-Christians. It's going to bring life to people. And that's what this house is called to do, to lift, to bring hope to... I'll stop.
I think there's something so powerful.
I've got nothing. I just want to say that. After that and then, I have nothing.
I think what's so powerful, you keep on saying, you know, God's image and reflecting God's image. And what came to my mind is the scripture that talks about the earth is groaning for the manifestation of sonship. You know, for the earth is literally groaning for us to reflect the Father. And so I think this is really a season in which God is calling us as a people. But God is calling you individually to reflect God and for your true purpose and identity to be revealed in your circle. You know, and as you are revealed as a son, as a daughter of God, doors are going to start to open. Success is going to follow that. Victory is going to follow that. You being undefeated is going to follow you reflecting the Father. Because guess what? He's undefeated. You know, he's not struggling. He's not got just enough. But everywhere we see it in Jesus' life, everything that Jesus touched, it was healed. Right. It was made whole. It was abundantly more than when he started. He never left things in lack. He never left things broken. So I really think that's so powerful with 26. Let's go just a little bit further. Greatest moments. What is one of the greatest moments of hope that you could say today?
Well, she will want to talk about the production, so I'll just say the greatest moment of my life as far as hope goes was the Sunday we were doing three Sunday morning services, and I got up to preach and I had a stroke during the middle of the service, the first service, and my face started to droop. And of course, I went ahead and preached the next two services. And I went to the hospital, and the doctor looked at me and he said, you can't keep going the way you're going. And God said to me, what did I say to you? Did I tell you 6 months ago to give the church to your son and daughter? And God is my witness. I picked the phone up in the hospital with my face all drawn on this side. And I said, Josh and Corinne, you're the new pastors of a place called Hope. And before my wife's very eyes, my face came back into place. And there was not one result, ramification of the stroke.
He came right home. They dismissed him. The doctor saw it too.
You have no success without a successor. I've taught church history, and rarely ever does a visionary have a work that does something incredible and the successor know how to take it on. That's not the truth here. What God has put in this house, the greatest joy of my life is to watch them do what they're doing, to watch you do what you're doing. And we did come back. The greatest coaches, Bill, that always win the Super Bowl or win the NBA championship are the ones that can make adjustments at halftime. It's halftime. And I promise you, I give you my word. They give you their word. The leadership of this house gives you their word. Whatever adjustments we need to make, because we are going to rock. We are undefeated. And what you're going to see,
I think that's a word too on an individual level. You know, say you're at a point, you know, because always when you're involved in a community that God has put you in, that community, that same word relates to you on an individual level. You know, what area of your life are you in a halftime? And God is saying, it's time to go into the locker room. It's time to hear the pep talk. It's time to get a revelation and come out. It doesn't matter what the first half looked like. It doesn't matter if you were losing in your health or your finances or your business or your job. The second half is about to be a turnaround. And the greatest stories and the games we love to relive and rewatch are the ones where the first half was like a tragedy, and then they came out the second half, and it was completely a turnaround. So I just think that's a word on an individual level as well as a corporate level for us. One of your greatest memories?
Well, what I liked to watch was the synergy. Joycey knows what I'm going to say, of all the people coming together for the dramas. You had the lighting people and the costumes and the stage and the actors, and there were so many people involved. And then there would be this great production come forth. There would be so much light given. The community came out to watch. And then there were souls that would be saved. And it was just so much life going on. And that was one of my favorite times. It was the Revolutionary and also Manger in Miami. Manger in Miami was kind of amazing.
Amen. I think you know, all of these moments are just awesome. One of the favorite moments that really stands out to me are some of those moments that we've really just had in the presence of God, when it's just like God's presence is so real that you could just feel like you could reach out and touch it. I remember we were having a great Sunday, and it was a powerful worship, and we came off the stage with the worship team, and one of our worship leaders was sitting on the stairs, and we're talking, everything is good, and he starts going into a seizure, and we're all like, whoa, what just happened? Because we've never seen anything like that. I mean, he practiced with us all the time, and was on a picture of health, strong guy. And so we got in water, and the seizure stopped, and he said, yeah, sometimes this happens. And I was just like grieved in my spirit. I'm like, this shouldn't happen. No. And so he went to the doctor, and he called us back that week, and he said, yeah, they've told me that I've got a brain tumor. And, you know, the guy was like a younger brother to us, and we, you know, spent a lot of time with him. And we just, you know, we continued to worship, and I think it was like a week or two later, we're just in worship, and the Spirit of God is so heavy there in the room, and we just said, you know what, we're not going to allow this. We're, you know, this is not what the Word promises, and so the Spirit of God is there. We said, you can come out here. We're going to pray right now in the middle of worship. And he got down on his knees, and we prayed, and we put our hands on his head, and we spoke the words of faith, and just we really felt like God was doing something in that moment. And then we got the call like a week or two later, and he calls from the doctor's office, and he said, I just went to the doctor, and they can't find the brain tumor. It's miracles like that, or like some of the beautiful couples that we've had in our church that have came and said, you know, we've been praying, we've had X amount of miscarriages, and we just, the womb won't work right. And just to see in the Spirit of God and in the atmosphere of worship, just laying our hands on people and God doing miracles. And seeing people that were barren, that could not have children, have two and three children, have a house full of kids and life. You know, to me, like the signs and the wonders and the worship has really been some of my favorite moments.
Oh, man, there's so many. I would agree, worship was a very big part of what moved my life and the youth as well. We had that the tour that we'd go all the way up and back and seeing transformations take place. I think if we don't have the presence of God, we don't have anything. And when we would just, even, and I'm speaking past and present, when we get into his presence together and we all begin to draw, it's something amazing and magnificent happens. When I remember back when we were at the Colvin Center and we did Family Day outside, and we had this tent and we had done everything outdoors for a weekend, and it was so awesome. It was like almost like a sunrise service, you know. And it was right by a lake, and there was just so much that we were grateful for, being in this atmosphere of the natural, and we knew something was happening in the spirit, and everybody came expectant. Everybody came ready to join together and celebrate what God was doing in our church. And it's in those moments that I think so much of the synergy and the unity of the people brings something beautiful, the tangible presence of God. And that's how we have those moments where people are healed. And like even here, we've had people say, I came and my foot was hurting, and it's been hurting, and something's been off, and during worship, my foot was healed. Or, you know, whether something in their back or their knee. I mean, it's been multiple things, but that's been a word that's been prophesied over the house that we would, over and over, four times you had mentioned, that people would not need to have their hands laid on, just in the presence of God, they would be healed in worship. And so it's so important to go back to the words that God has spoken over the house. You know, talking about the faithfulness of God, I'm just reminded of moments, and this is relatable, I'm sure, to everybody in the room, whether it's the church has been through sometimes financial struggles where we were in the living room talking about what is next? How are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to? I mean, I remember those conversations where it was like, God, this feels like the end, you know, and but it's in those moments that you are your faith is truly tested. If God, in fact, has called us his sons and daughters, if God, in fact, has said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I've called you to be more than a conqueror. Then we can stand on this word. We don't just wear it. We don't just say it. We don't just write a song about it. We say, this is my life's message. I am a child of God and I'm undefeated. No matter if I face financial turmoil, if I have a challenge in my body, if I have struggles in the relationships that I have. Let me tell you something. There's somebody in my life that was very special to me. And like I constantly, like, not constantly, but very often we would have conversations. And I said, man, I miss this person. Man, I feel like God had joined us. Like, where is this person? God, whatever happened to that? And I would ask him. And like about a week or two ago, this person called me and said, man, I don't know what happened, what drifted between us. But I really feel like God is calling back this friendship together. And I was like, man, God, you're so faithful. He shows his faithfulness. So whether it's relationships, he is our ultimate provider. Know that he is for you. He is not against you. Whatever you face, there's a solution. Rehearse the word of the Lord over your life.
That's so good. That's so good. I know I take time aside, you know, in my schedule that I go back and I look at what God has said over us, over the church. And I would, man, you have to listen to what she's saying. Go back and rehearse what God has said over your life. Because you don't know where you're headed until you go back and say, what did God say? Because there's so many times that it feels this way, but actually the reality is something different. I feel like this in my emotions, or it looks like this in the natural, but what did God say? What did God say? Because God has given us a plan. God has given us plans to give us hope and give us a future and prosper us, plans not to harm us, plans that we would be undefeated. But if we don't refer back to what he said and whose he's called us and the identity that he's given us, we're going to miss out on something that's so precious. So
just because we face hard times, it doesn't give us the right to abandon the mission ever.
That's so good. That's so good. Next season. What do you see in the next season of Hope? You guys are so excited about it. You moved back here to South Florida. What is it that you're seeing that is exciting you guys about this next season?
We don't have a complete picture, but what I see in the spirit is the worship is going to come to the forefront, and we will be known as a place where you can find the presence of God. And I've had like glimpses of the presence of God actually rolling out into the street and people laying prostrate in the sidewalks out there trying to get in, but the presence of God is too much. And people will be healed out there. And I believe that the church will be set in the middle, and the God will use us to kind of establish the fivefold ministry actively. I don't know how it's going to look yet, but I know that that's what we're called to, set people forth in who they are and call them to run with their calling and do for God, make their life a living testimony. And so I don't know exactly how it's going to look, but I know it's going to look like a place that houses the presence of God, and that people will be so hungry, Christian or non-Christian, they will come looking and seeking for hope and find it. Could I tell one little story? I was last weekend. We were asked to have lunch with Francis Miles, Bishop Francis, Apostle Dr. Francis Miles, and so this lady that was taking pictures and talking around, she was a prophet, and she was getting anointed, that she was telling me, I'm getting set forth in a couple of weeks as an apostle. And I was just, oh, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so good. She was traveling the world, and she goes, I'm a star warrior. If you don't know, when I was children's pastor, we had star warriors, and I taught them how to battle in the spirit and how to pray. Who in here was a star warrior? Come on. Sandy. I know. Tiffany. Okay, thank you, Tiffany. But it was 20-something years ago. I was only a pastor, a children's pastor for about 8 years. But to have one come back and say, look, you taught me how to pray. You taught me how to war in the spirit. I was a warrior because of a place called Hope. And that she said, I came there because I needed hope. And that's what this place is. It's a place where people can come that need hope and they need the presence of God.
I would say that where we're going is this, and just lift your hands up like this and just say, every prophetic word that has ever been spoke over my life shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. I'm telling you, not some of them, every one of them. And do you know the words that have been given over this house from Tudor Bismarck and Clem Clement and Sean Bolts and Phil Driscoll? I'm telling you, I'm going to say every word that is spoke over this house shall come to pass. And that means it's got to come through you to happen in this house. Every prophetic word that's been spoken over you, Minerva, it shall be so and it shall be done. I want you to say, not one word will fall to the ground. All of you that are watching right now, not one word. This is a place that when the prophetic words meet the worship in this house, manifestation happens.
I'm seeing in this next season a whole time of God causing us to grow deeper and wide. Deep and wide. So, you know, within the community, that God is going to enrich and deepen the relationships. God is going to cause us to go deeper into our purpose in a way that such leadership rises up, and God is going to make this a house of leaders. So God's going to make us deep in that way, deeper in how we love one another, how we support one another, how we back one another, how we hold each other accountable. But also God is going to cause us to become more wide. We're going to, you know, the walls of the church are no longer going to be able to contain what God is doing in us as a people, that there's such a reaching of our community and a reaching of our city and a reaching of our police department and the political and the educational and God just causing us to be able to reach the hearts of man and reach people. So I see this really as a season of God making us deeper and wider.
I see pictures. So I see almost like in the scripture where it says he expands the borders of our territory, right? Him expanding our tent, him expanding our borders and just really taking us to another place. I know this might seem strange, but one of the parallels that he gave me is with our alphabet, we have 26 letters. We're in our 26th year. That marks the end of something, and the rest is like something new, right?
Right.
But it's also a limit. So I really see as God taking us beyond a limitation that we've had before. I see him really elevating his people to a place where we are now anchoring together and beginning to pull others in the community up with us. Boots, I kept hearing in the last few days, boots on the ground. Boots on the ground, like we're out there, we're not just recruiting to fill up a house. We are actually expanding the kingdom of God. I see this as a year of evangelism, a year of us really reaching those that are hurting. Just like that Sean Bolt's prophecy you were talking about where he said the ear of the world will be listening, and they're listening for somebody who's giving them hope. If you look at what's happening in the world, you look on the news, everybody's infighting. Everybody's trying to cancel each other. Everybody wants acceptance, but then they're also canceling each other. It doesn't make any sense. And that's how things are. But I believe because we have the treasure of the gospel of Jesus within us, that we can be an answer to a lost generation. We can be an answer to people that are so hurting, that are broken, that say, I need hope. We are a beacon of hope.
When you gave that word about the 26 letters in the alphabet, the scripture that came to mind is, because when you go to the end, and the alphabet, of course, symbolizes what we can articulate.
Right.
And I just thought about, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man the things that I have prepared for those that love me. And I really think that this is going to be a season for hope, and if you're connected to hope, this is for you too, that it's going to be beyond articulation what God is about to do in your life, how good God is about to be, the miracles that are about to happen in your life. You know, I don't know if you've ever had that moment that the miracle was so good that you would have never even dreamed of it working out that way, or you just would have never known to articulate it like that. Like, that's how good God was. This is a season that I really feel that God is about to take us into, a season of that, that's miracles, full of miracles that are like that, that are just beyond articulation. It's just, I would have never thought of that miracle. It's just that good. It's so much better than what I expected. It's beyond articulation.
I just want to say this word, and I want you all to really, really pull in. There is no miracle in your life unless you're in desperate need of a miracle. And so I'm driving down to meet with some pastors down in South Miami, and I get a call. We had a program at the church where we took the church vans and we went into the projects, and we got kids free dental care. And on the way back, we'd bring them by the church and get them all saved. And it was phenomenal. And so one of our young men that had played football at Alabama A&M, big, strong linebacker, his name was Donnell, and he was in the neighborhood picking up kids with the place called Hep Van right there, and he had a little necklace on. I had just married him to a girl in the church. She was pregnant with their first baby 6 months before. And guy comes up and he says, I want your necklace. And Donnell, big boy, he said, no, you're not getting my necklace. And the boy shot Donnell in the head and in the chest. And they called me up, and I was about 5 minutes away. And they says, you need to come here. Donnell's dead. And I raced to this, and I'll never forget, it was misting raining. And the yellow tarp was over him. The only thing sticking out was his Nike, white Nike tennis shoes with a red swoosh. And I was. He called me dad. His mother still lived in that project. I said, God, how? What are you going to do about this? And God said, wrong question. What are you going to do about it? Had there not been that event, I said, God, I'll do anything. And all of a sudden, I heard these words come out of my mouth. For everyone. I was talking to the devil. For everyone you take from us, we're going to take 10,000 from you. And it was at that moment God gave me the idea of the Revolution Tour. And we got 100 kids, went from Miami to Toronto, went on TBN, ministered to millions, tens of thousands of young people came to know Jesus. Donnell was a seed planted. Sam was a seed planted. Vincent was a seed planted. Did our hearts grieve and break? And some of you have had losses. But I prophetically tell you, every loss you think you've had is a seed planted for your future. And God has a plan. God has a thought. We would have never, buddy, done the Revolution Tour had Donnell not be planted as a seed. And so whatever you're in, you need to ask God, what is the seed that's been planted? Because there has to become, it's seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest. And everything, I haven't lost anything. Everybody say, I haven't lost anything. Everything I lost in the past was a seed planted for my future. My future, man, I'm so excited. Do you know, Minerva, how many seeds we've planted? Come on, Bill. Come on. Marco, how many seeds have we? Somebody say out loud, I've planted a lot of seeds. I've planted a lot of seeds. Well, harvest time's here.
You know, I just want to minister to you. If things have come against you and your back is against the wall and tragedy has happened and you go, God, what's going on? We were having a leadership meeting with these singles at our home. And Esther was 9 or 10 years old, and she went out in the front yard with another little girl, and they were jumping on the trampoline, and one girl snuck out that was a big ball player and jumped on the trampoline and crushed her foot in like 12 places through the growth plate, and they couldn't even set it for a week because it was swollen so big. And the 7 years, if you've been at Hope, you know the 7 years of surgery that girl went through with rods and pins, and it was a tragedy. And I go, God, what glory can you get out of this? I had a baby that went to school a year in a wheelchair and went to school with a fixator on her leg. And I watched her suffer and turn in on herself. And I would go, God, what glory. And then she went to the mission field with Heidi Baker. She poured her heart out. She emptied herself. She has made the best out of that. We were going to pay for her graduation from college to get all of these scars taken off her legs. And she said, no, you know, it's who I am. It reminds me of what I've been through. And that girl, we took her when she was pregnant with Jeremiah. We took her with us to Mexico. Her and Joshua, you were there. And the pastor's wife asked her to get up and pray. And when Esther opened her mouth, the presence of God, you remember this, Joycey? The presence of God was so strong, I couldn't move. I couldn't move. I just was like frozen. And after the move of God that night, when it was all over, we were in the back. And the pastor's wife said to me, you don't know what a pregnant woman said, they had 26,000 people, said to these women in Mexico that feel like the minute they get pregnant, they couldn't do anything for God. They had to stop ministering. They had to stop teaching Sunday school. But her getting up pregnant said to them, I can do this. I can be like that. And it was such a breakthrough. And I saw how, you know, when I suffered 30 years with my back, and I tried to hide it from everybody and keep moving strong, and God's going to heal me. And then one day God said, I want you to have surgery. This man does not believe in me, but I'm going to get in his hands if you tell him. And so right before my surgery, I said, could I pray for you? And I said, could you give me your hands? And I said, God, get in these hands and use this man. And he teared up and he said, there's never been a perfect surgery. I've never done a perfect surgery. And when I woke up to this man standing at the foot of my bed saying, this was a perfect surgery. And I said, because God was in your hands. We don't understand, but I said that to say this. A prophet said to me just a month ago, because you suffered, Pastor Andy, because you suffered 30 years, now you can heal. God is going to use you to heal. You paid the price for healing. And I take that word, and you don't know what you have go through or what you the unfortunate things that you go through, but God gets in it and God will use it. So whatever it is, if you put it on the altar and say, God, I surrender, I won't get bitter, I won't get hard, just use me for your glory. And he will take whatever's happened to you today and use it for the glory of God.
Let's pray. That was so powerful. Let's open our hearts to what the Spirit is doing. If that is you, I want to invite you to come as an act. Lay your thing before the altar. Everybody, let's all stand together. I'm going to just begin to pray, and if that's you, you can come forward. God, I just thank you right now, Lord, for what you have done, for the words that you are speaking over us, for what you're wanting to impart. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of your presence, the opportunity to engage in what you're doing within us, God. We know that you have such great plans to prosper us, plans not to harm us, but to give us a future and a hope. So today, God, we activate those words, Lord. We lay before you. We pour out our hearts just like David did before you, God. We pour every part, every pain, every frustration, God. Years of waiting on whatever it is. And Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would take it. We make an exchange in your presence. We make an exchange in your presence. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. God, I thank you that you lift the heavy burden off of your people. Lift the heavy burden. Lift sickness, God. You are a God of healing. You are a God of restoration. You are a God of joy, not depression. You are a God of peace, not angst. God, I thank you right now for pouring out. We thank you, Lord, for filling us with the Spirit, God, the Spirit of the living God. Let it be so great in us, Lord. We want to walk in the fruit of your Spirit today. Hallelujah. We just thank you, God. Do your work, do your work, do your work, God. We bless your holy name. We give you thanks for being a faithful God. We give you thanks for delivering us, God, from affliction, delivering us, Lord, from the things that we have suffered through, God. You are a God who brings comfort to the brokenhearted, peace to the brokenhearted. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what only you can do, for your breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus, that because you died and rose again, God, that we can live, that your power can live in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.